taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. I'm Dr. Richard Friend, and today we're talking about Black women and maternal health. Expectant Black mothers are more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women, and levels of education and income are not necessarily protective factors. Let's listen as Dr. Joy Bradley, Assistant Professor of Community Medicine and Population Health, provides insight about this important health issue. Welcome to Health Matters with your host, Mike Royer.
We welcome back to Health Matters Dr. Joy Bradley, Assistant Professor of Community Medicine and Population Health here at the University of Alabama College of Community Health Sciences. It's good to see you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So we've got this old white guy asking you questions, and you're a relatively young African-American woman, and you tell me off camera about the challenges that Black women specifically face in pregnancy, in delivery, in delivering a healthy baby. And I think to myself, I don't know anyone that's had discrimination or racism that affected pregnancy or their care, but you know that this happens full well in the people you come in contact with. It must be a really aggravating problem for you to face and know about all the time.
It's a very aggravating problem. And I think what frustrates and angers me the most is that for Black women in particular, they're three times more likely to pass away from a birth complication. But not only that, 60% of those deaths could have been preventable.
And do you know a bottom line? Is there one or two or three main reasons that you go, this is why this happens? This is why Black women are far more at risk than white women during the pregnancy process. What are some of the main reasons for it?
So the CDC recently released a report that talked about something called the weathering hypothesis, which means that Black women seem to have some issues as far as worse health outcomes and worse physical outcomes because of things that they deal with, so chronic stress. And one of the things that they're thinking is behind the chronic stress is that it's racism and implicit bias that they face from different people in the community.
We think of racism as you may not get a job or you may not be able to afford to live in this neighborhood or something. I don't think of racism affecting health of anybody, but you know that it does.
Yes, unfortunately it does.
Doctors, Black and white, are sworn to take care of people's health. Where does the ball get dropped?
So I think the ball gets dropped, and I'm not saying that, you know, people are intentionally doing these things. And some of this is structural racism, meaning that it's above an individual kind of one-on-one kind of prejudice that happens. So structural racism may occur when we think about, like you said, living in a specific community, not having access to better levels of care, not having access to better education, things like that. And then we also have implicit bias, which is where providers and other people are not conscious about how they are making their decision-making practices can affect their patient's health.
You're a well-read, well-educated PhD, not a physician, but from the physician's viewpoint, Black women are more predisposed to some things like high blood pressure and some other genetic issues that aren't related to racism. It's just a genetic ongoing problem. Is that accurate, you believe?
So that is accurate, and a lot of it stems from, you know, diets that their ancestors had. There's actually something that is pretty significant, and it just came out of some PRAMS data where we saw that for white women who have been diagnosed with gestational diabetes, they were more likely to have a healthier baby than Black women who were also diagnosed with the same illness. And so you wonder, why is that? Both of them have this disease that will predetermine different birth outcomes for your child, but white women are able to successfully navigate still having a healthy birth, whereas Black women aren't. And so there are some there are other underlying things that are happening that kind of still don't make sense that we need to help make sense of.
The things that don't make sense, you suspect, though, are maybe not as good of a diet, maybe not as good of overall health care opportunities would
Correct.
Be factors
yeah.
probably as well. Mm-hmm. How many times in your life have you heard a white person say, I'm not a racist, I have black friends? You've heard that, and we kind of laugh about it now. Even if someone is not consciously prejudiced against anyone, there can be some subconscious behavior that's learned or trained from experience that affects someone's physical outcome. The question of the day is, how do we improve on that? And I suspect the answer is better education and maybe more talking to each other would help.
So like you mentioned before, when people say, oh, I do have a black friend, not limiting yourself to that one friend, but opening yourself up to have experiences with whole communities that are different from you, and not limiting to a black and white thing, because, you know, even in Tuscaloosa, we have a really diverse cultural community, and to where we can really learn a lot from each other and not rely on stereotypes or things that we see on TV or read in a newspaper to color the way that we think about people. And I think the more that you are able to spend time with people who are different from you, you're able to look at that person as that person, as a human being, versus that image that you've kind of associated with that person. And not to say, you know, that, again, this is a problem that all races have. This isn't just on white people. Implicit bias is something that no one is exempt from. And so we just have to own it. And we have to be more mindful of, again, how we stereotype people and how those stereotypes play out in our decision making. Because until we do that, we're going to continue to have some of these same issues. And so there are two ways in which I think we can kind of help ourselves along with this. So the first thing is, there's a term called cultural competency. And that's this idea that you're becoming more aware of your bias and you're becoming more aware of how to be more of a global citizen. But it's not a one-time thing. It's not something that you study for this test and you get it right. It's so there's a new language now around cultural humility, which means that it's an ongoing lifelong practice of being aware of your biases and trying to look to gain new experiences from people who are different from you.
Everyone has a different religious viewpoint, and we're not going to get too deep into it, except to say, my parents raised me to believe that God made everybody. That's whatever your beliefs, that's not a bad principle to start with, is it?
No, not at all.
Yeah. I appreciate you talking to us. I know one thing, if we don't talk about this, if we don't let people like you talk to viewers about things like this, we're going to stay about where we are. So thank you for your expertise and for your time today. We appreciate it.
No problem.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit umc.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center, with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, and Fayette.